Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk, coming to you this week from Philadelphia after an incredible week with the Ireland Gateway to Europe crew. We started out in Washington and we're heading home in a few hours, which I'm devastated about because I've loved my time in Philadelphia so far. But rather than just continue with my travelogue, we are going to bring you some of the conversations with people I've met over the last week or so, because there have been really interesting conversations about what's going on here in the US, but also what's likely to happen as a result of Ireland's presidency of the EU. That was a big talking point this week. Another talking point, there was no escaping it, was AI. It really has dominated so much of the conversation, and it's really interesting to hear how it's impacting different sectors. One of the big areas is recruitment. This is something that has come up time and again. And I was delighted to chat with Niall and Declan McNiff of Real Time Recruitment. And I started by asking them to remind us what it is that they do.
Okay, we basically supply tech and transformation staff across the island of Ireland, north and south. And we also do the east coast of the US. And again, it's contract, permanent, and then we've also supplied nearshore teams in Portugal.
And just remind us, you have like a significant enough operation, not only in Ireland but in the US. Just tell us a little bit about your own setup.
Yeah, it's basically we work all tech roles along the East Coast, and it's mainly Boston. And it was off the back of clients in, with an award-winning service, thank God, in Ireland. And clients turned around and said, look, we wish we had your service in the US. We could do with it. The US is a lot about volume, whereas quality, when it comes to recruitment, it's quality. Quality, if you're providing quality resumes, as they're called in the US, it saves time, save money, and you get the right people on board quicker.
In terms of recruitment, like, there's been so much talk about this space over the last few while, with AI being a key player here, not only in terms of people who are looking for jobs using AI to put their CVs together, recruiters using AI to kind of weed out some resumes and CVs, and then also AI taking some jobs. There's been a huge shift even in the past 12 months since we last spoke. What's the status of the market, and how different is it from, or how different are the US and Ireland at the moment in terms of the recruitment market?
Yeah, it's funny because we were with clients there over this week, and it's, there's so many shifting sands, very much so since we met last year, Jess. And you know, you're getting clients talking about, you know, CVs being matched to job specs and things like that there. And we spoke about a dangerous sort of situation where you could arguably have bots talking to bots. So there's an awful lot of things happening in the market at the moment.
Yeah, and look, it's being authentic, Jess. The one thing that AI can't replace is the human touch, the human element, and we've heard that all week here in America. There's a lot of companies, we talked to startups, and even they were saying, and there was some AI, there was a guy that presented yesterday, and they do mapping of all the infrastructure, the city's infrastructure, then they use AI to produce the element of when it needs repaired, and when so that the city can put its budgets to great effect. But it's people based. He said the people have to get the relationships, the people have to sign the contracts, the people have to be out. But the other side of the people end, which you talked about there on the CVs and all this false presentation by AI, it's being authentic. People that are authentic and people that have good communication skills will be the big winners.
But has this disruption from AI created a big sort of shift in terms of what people understand about your sector? Because again, there's this notion that AI is just going to come in, swoop it all. But then, as Declan said, humanity plays a key role. And also, I would not be very good in a job interview. I've never done one, but I know I wouldn't be very good in a job interview. But it's when you get to know someone, you get to meet someone, you get to see their real strengths. AI can't do that sort of presentation to ensure that you are finding the right people for your business.
Yeah, at the end of the day, people, you know, you're looking for sort of certain characteristics, certain traits. A CV, resume is only going to get you so far. So ultimately, it's about looking for those traits. We've had a number of meetings this week. We spoke about certain traits that make great entrepreneurs. And again, these are things that are authentic, that people, you know, you can only get from actually meeting people. And we met clients this week. They said
they had very much sort of put the foot down on having face-to-face interviews again, that they were not going to hire anybody unless they met everybody face-to-face, because they just wanted to basically get to know the individual much better and see if they were a cultural fit.
And so from your business's point of view then at the moment, what are the key priorities and the key focuses to ensure your own growth, but also working for your clients then?
Well, it's like everybody else, we're looking to apply AI in our business, Jess, and it's about job redesign and the correct job redesign. So you're being specific, you're taking the tasks that are routine, and so you're trying to transform, there is a transformation of the role of the staff, going that it's more meaningful, you have more conversations, they're out at more meetings, because even we saw this week here in the US, being out with clients, shaking hands, having real conversations. We got access to some people this week that is absolutely unbelievable, that you don't get if you're just another voice on the end of a keyboard or on the end of a phone. So it's face to face, and that's where the juice is, and that's where the beauty is. And the companies that adopt that to free up their staff from the routine, A, it makes them empowers them, B, it pushes the business, and lastly, it makes it more meaningful for everybody involved.
Yeah, I think AI for pretty much everybody, including ourselves, it's just about freeing up time to work on the more higher value tasks.
And what, in terms of training and investment in the AI, because this is a bugbear of mine at the minute. There are so many platforms and solutions out there, and I see businesses just spending money because something has AI in the blurb, but they don't fully understand how, where, and when it serves their business. There's almost a recruitment need for the AI to make sure it's the right fit. It's like finding good staff. You need to make sure the tools fit your business.
There is, and we were laughing about it the other day. Whoever cracks that code and becomes a consultancy, because look, some of the AI, it varies. They talk about senior people and senior developers will become the sort of authenticators of the AI work, and they'll be the ones that verify everything. But then there's other people that were saying that the best people with AI are straight out of college,
yeah,
and ones still studying. The ones that are using these tools and adopting it and are able to play about with them,
yeah,
in practice, and so they're bringing it into the professional workforce. But definitely having the right skill, because you're far better training your staff in AI than replacing them. It's harder to replace people, and don't get me wrong, if you're training staff in AI and some don't adopt it, they have to be replaced, because it's the people with AI skills that will replace those that don't. But there's industries like customer service, and that I don't think it'll impact that big. You might have the first layer, but there's nothing more frustrating than getting on with an AI agent and going nowhere,
yeah,
on the back of a call. So
yeah, I think last year when we spoke, it was very much talking around things like ChatGPT, and everybody was very much in that experimentation phase. I think the companies now that are, the companies now that are succeeding more are those companies that are actually embedding AI into their business models, as opposed to just layering more and more AI tech tools on top. And obviously, it's no secret there's huge sums being spent on AI. So ultimately, people are going to want to see a return on investment.
And in terms of, because we've been seeing and the forecasts in terms of tech jobs and all the rest, and again, this is tech show, so we're focused on the tech sector for a minute, but there is a bit of a downturn. Companies are letting people go. We know that Meta are reducing their headcount significantly. Other companies are either going into a hiring freeze or tightening their belt or restructuring their companies. What does that forecast or potential forecast mean for your business then?
Well, there was a great Gartner report actually on the impact of AI, and they see it as sort of net neutral this year. Yes, look, if the big companies are laying off people, that gives every CEO around the world asking,
yeah,
do we have the right team? Do we have the team of the right skill? Do we need as many and not on the team? But that produces, there's new roles appearing already. If you can get AI trainers, AI prompters, and this is the next generation of roles that'll come through. And that actual report, the Gartner report, expects that these roles will be clearer defined. We're definitely in an area, Niall spoke about shifting sands there, Jess, and there's a lot of fear. And we've seen that firsthand over here in America, fear of what AI and the impact of AI, and a lot of people that you just touched on, they don't know where to apply it.
Yeah.
And so you can spend the right money. And there's a number of companies that are waiting to see what others are doing. But this is the first year we've seen a lot of companies that have decided, okay, we've sat in our hands long enough to try and work out what it is. There's specific tasks
down the specific problems. You only apply AI to solve a problem. There's no point, as you said, otherwise you're wasting money.
Yeah, and I think the three things are, it's like people are using it for cost savings, but the other side is there's potential upsides in revenue generation. It can actually remodel potentially how you do your business. The way you're doing it now could be done possibly better with AI. So there are different ways, and like I think along this journey, everybody's learning and improving. But yeah, look, it's interesting times to be sure.
So what are we going to talk about next year when we are all together, no doubt, on this trip? What do you think the world's going to look like, and what will we chat about then?
Well, hopefully you'll need us here, Jess, to talk to, and we won't be replaced. Look, who knows? And even a lot of companies were saying their forecast and how to forecast 12 months ahead, 2 years ahead, is very difficult. We spoke to a number of big clients this week, and they're saying even forecasting a quarter,
yeah, it's hard.
And it's very, very difficult. So, look, 12 months... Are we more settled and we more down the road than we were 12 months ago? Yes. And there's big investments going into AI now. I expect that to accelerate and to be more next year. Is half the workforce going to be out of work? No chance. And I say that for the people that want to upskill. You have to upskill. You have to embrace it, because it is coming, and it's coming apace.
Yeah, I think... you have to get on board on the AI. You have to embrace it. A year ago, when we were here, AI was maybe one-liner on a job spec.
Yeah.
Now it's far more prominent. And as I say, you have to embrace it, because if you don't embrace it in the tech world, you're going to be left behind. That's what we're hearing.
Yeah, that was Niall and Declan McNiff of Real Time Recruitment. The issue of AI in recruitment is fascinating to me. I know that there are companies who are using, as I said there, the AI to auto-reject CVs and cover letters if they don't have certain keywords. There's also huge concern in certain parts of the world about using AI in recruitment, because it can have bias built in, and that is a serious issue. We spoke about it on this program before with people with certain surnames, certain addresses, based on their picture. If there's a picture on their CV, they can get auto rejected by the AI, which is massively concerning, especially as we heard in the chat there with the lads, when humanity and the human touch is what makes a business a business. I do have serious concerns about it, and we'll probably come back to it again at some stage. But to kind of go back and focus on the human touch for a second, I met a fantastic company in Washington on Wednesday. They're called Link Strategic Partners, and I caught up with their chief of staff and executive vice president, Jamal Holtz, who told me a little bit more about what they do.
So Link Strategic Partners, we are an international communications and community engagement firm. And so we pride ourselves on being a social impact consulting firm that offers professional services in the realm of communications and engagement. And that's everything from helping people rethink and rebrand how they present their companies, to helping them think and plan around like stuff like strategic planning or community engagement. And so we get to do some real hyper local work on the global scale. Mm-hmm. So we are headquartered in Washington, D.C., but we get the honor of doing work all across the globe. We have offices in six U.S. cities and as well in the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so we get to do some very hyper local work across the globe. And that's everything from economic development to trade to really helping businesses strategic plan and understand their priorities of the moment and do some community-based work.
Mm. It must be fascinating to have that global perspective on community-level projects, because as we know, and you know, this week we are in Washington, we are in Philadelphia, and then I'm going back home to Dublin, and those three places alone have very different identities, very different core issues that matter to people on the ground. How vital is it that your team get to know the love language and the business language and the community language of those different markets?
Yeah, in the words of Dublin, I would say that we're lucky. We are lucky to be able to do to create a model and that can be adapted across the globe, but also to to be able to do that hyper-local work where it's not just about doing work locally, but it's also about understanding where are their synergies, where do we find partnerships, where how do you leverage the global work you're doing to help bring and understand some of those global best practices into communities across the world, mm-hmm. right? And so it is a real treat to be able to understand and learn different cultures, different ways of work, and understand different organizations and how they set themselves up across the globe. And so whether that's doing work in Rio de Janeiro or being able to do some work in Dublin, mm-hmm. In which we hope to do. And I think this trade mission was a good part of helping us to understand what are some of the opportunities that not only exist here in the U.S., but what are some opportunities and synergies that we can help deploy and support and work with companies in Dublin as they're looking to do more work in the U.S. or across the globe as well.
Mm. Yeah, that's one of the things that stood out with me or to me over the last few days is we obviously hear about the U.S. all the time. We're reading about the U.S. all the time, but it is completely different when you have boots on the ground and you get to talk to local people and just understand what's going on. In terms of the impact of your work, has it evolved and has it become more challenging to work globally given all that's going on in the world right now?
I think globally it has not been a challenge to do global-based work. I actually think global work has kind of amplified in moments like now when we're talking about tariffs and trade and all those things. But what we're starting to see a lot more of now is city-to-city, community-to-community type of partnerships. Mm-hmm. And that's some of the stuff we help facilitate. We were able to help and work and support with the trade centers of D.C., Dublin, and Boston to do a three-way partnership on promoting trade, right? That's not a federal government to federal government that or that national government. It's the cities that are looking to partner and do the work because mm-hmm. The work still has to happen. And so when we get to be able to say, hey, we do community-based or communications or strategic planning work in Dublin, people like to hear that when we're doing work here in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And so as a firm that gets that chance to do all, to offer all the services that we offer across the world and then get to say, hey, here's what worked in Dublin or here's what worked in Manchester, U.K., here's what worked in Rio. Now let's think of what will work best for your community, mm-hmm. for your organization or for the problem or issue that you're trying to challenge. And so I think global work is expanding in this moment.
Mm. I was reading up on the company, your organization, and I was struck by the pride in the language used on the website to talk about the diversity of your team and the inclusivity of your team. How important is that? Is this something that just appears on a website or is it very much ingrained in the DNA?
It's certainly ingrained in our DNA and our founding and our practice. We can't call ourselves a social impact firm and not really mean the impact part of what we do. And so our youngest employee is 16 and our oldest employee is 98.
Wow.
And they are not outliers. We're very intentional about building a team that is reflective of the work that we do and the communities in which we serve and operate within. And that's the same thing as most traditional consulting firms hire consultants,
yeah. who,
career-long consultants. For us as a consulting firm, we hire people who are practitioners, people who come from different walks of life and backgrounds, everything from former government officials to former healthcare executives to former teachers on our team, and we train and teach them on the work that we consult in. And so when we can work with companies and say, hey, we actually have lived experience on our team,
yeah.
that applies to the work that you do, that makes our work 10 times more rewarding and makes the people who are doing the work more invested. And so so as a social impact consultant firm, we pride ourselves on the team that we build.
Yeah, and I think that that focus and that celebration of the human aspect and the humanity of this is really worth noting, particularly in the era of AI. We're hearing a lot of companies that are swapping out the humans for the machines. But that example of, you know, somebody in their 90s being involved, because they would have a completely different vantage
yeah.
point than your 16-year-old.
Yeah.
So that humanity seems to be the kernel of the company.
Yeah, and that 90-year-old shows up to work.
Mm-hmm.
I was just on a team meeting with him 30 minutes ago, and oftentimes weekly he sends us the list of things he needs us to focus on as our senior advisor. And he's active, and that type of mentality also helps the 16-year-old who's who's exploring and understanding what does the workforce look like, what does it mean, but also helps out intergenerational learning to be able to say, here's what it's like to be 16 years old. And so we have to, as the world evolves, as the work evolves, we also have to ensure that our workplace and the people is adaptive to that too.
Jamal, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining me here on News Talk.
I'm excited. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, that was Jamal Holtz, Chief of Staff and Executive VP at Link Strategic Partners. Right, when we come back here on News Talk, we'll meet some of the Irish businesses showing their wares here in the United States.